This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Seth Greenberg, the coach, joins us, and there he is, front and center. Seth, first of all, always a pleasure having your presence on the program. And you kind of hinted to us last week, hey, these teams coming off a pause, a little rusty every now and then. I'm sitting here watching Virginia light up Clemson like a Christmas tree. Tigers couldn't throw it in the ocean, but man, Virginia looked the part, didn't they? They were really, really good on both ends.
They were terrific on both ends. And, offensively, think about Virginia won a national championship, actually the defending national champions, and this might be their best offensive team. They have more floor gamers and shot makers than I can remember any Tony Bennett team having. They've got more guys that can make a shot, put it on the floor, make a play. They're developing an offensive identity. They're finding a balance between mover blocker and that five out, what I call read and react. They're a very good passing team. Their spacing is terrific. Huff's versatility is phenomenal in terms of, he can stretch out, but he also can get down in the mid post and make a play. But, to me, Kia Clark shooting less shots but being more efficient. Obviously, Sam Hauser is a unique talent. I think Beekman is going to be a terrific player, but they're fun to watch. They really are, and their spacing is phenomenal. And then defensively, I think they are much more connected.
Seth, you mentioned Huff and his versatility on offense and then the inventory of guys he has. But let's take Jay Huff for a second, because I said late last week I think he's playing at a first-team All-ACC level. The other part of it is he might not be as imposing or as efficient defensively as Jack Salt or Mamadi Diakite, but he covers a lot of ground for them on the offensive end that changes who they are, it looks like.
Oh, offensively, like, you put him in a ball screen, he's pick and pop, and you can run him in a trail spot. You can lift him out of their motion, what I'm calling my read and react motion. He makes your big, and you can put him in any position. So he's terrific at reversing the basketball, which sounds silly. What do you mean? Well, if you play a team that really gets up and underneath you and you have trouble reversing the basketball, he can lift and be a release and, boom, quickly reverse the basketball and then follow it to a ball screen and pop or roll, or he can become a playmaker off of a short roll. I mean, he's really a talented player. It's funny. That guy's going to play in the NBA. He's going to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. He is.
Oh, yeah.
He can run. He can rim protect. He can shoot. And he can pass. I mean, that's what you need. But the way Tony's using him, look, you use Jack Salt as a screener. And then if you curl off of that screen, there's a pocket pass and a dunk. You know what? Jay Huff isn't that guy. He can be that guy in certain times in the game. But what Jay Huff is now you make maybe a wider pin down, and now Sam Hauser curls off of that screen. He spaces, and he's knocking down a wide-open three or a 15-footer, or he's catching it and now becoming a passer. So the way they're using him, and this is why I say, and Virginia fans, relax, this is why I say I think Tony Bennett would be a terrific NBA coach. Because he is adaptable to moving guys in positions to play to their strengths.
All right, I want to follow up here real quick. Two of the best players Tony Bennett's ever had in Charlottesville are redshirt guys, DeAndre Hunter and Jay Huff. Does it speak to their player development and something that never gets discussed seemingly on a broader scope at how good they are at that particular area?
Yeah, and you got to have guys who want a red shirt. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, because your red shirt year is only good if that player buys in. And obviously, Tony's done a great job of getting both of those guys to buy in their red shirt year, because that's a year you can really grow. The freshman year for any player, I don't care how good you are, and we're seeing it happen at Duke, we're seeing it happen at Kentucky, we're seeing it happen all over the country. These freshmen who think it's a rite of passage and the transition to college basketball is easy, well, it's not. Very few make it seamlessly. But when you redshirt guys, if they buy in, they get stronger. They have a better understanding of the game. They understand the system. They understand how and why of things, which you just don't get right now. When I was at Long Beach State, I redshirted every single player that played for me but Lucius Harris. Every single guy. Brian Russell.
Well, that was a good choice.
Yeah.
That was a good
James
choice.
James Cotton.
I wouldn't have redshirted Lucius Harris either.
Yeah, he was pretty good. But, every guy that played for me, Every recruit that played for me as a head coach, we redshirted. I'll tell you what it enabled us to do. We ended up, because we were taking centers that were, we had to make the forwards and forwards that were trying to make guards. Instead of having two good years out of a guy, we ended up having three good years out of a guy. And, you know, what Tony's done with redshirting, now the problem is, you know, every kid has 1 foot in and 1 foot out. They're it's like a race to think they're getting into the NBA instead of running their own race. And but he's been able to convince these guys, and it's going to work out because Hunter obviously was a lottery pick, and Jay Huff's going to make himself a lot of money.
All right, I'm going to switch gears. By the way, for the record, I hope Tony Bennett stays in Charlottesville. I just want to get that on the record before we move to the next topic. because I know somebody's going to go, did you hear what they said on Packer and Durham? Tony Bennett's going to the end. I know that's going to happen.
I'll take full responsibility.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to be on the record.
Get ready.
So we put that rearview mirror. When I asked you last week on Friday, I said, who's the best team in the league? And you gave us your accounting. Florida State, North Carolina. I'll go back to the Noles because you love the Noles. And who wouldn't, all right, with what Leonard's built in Tallahassee? That was a really highly entertaining game on Saturday to start things off. And a two-part question. Number one, it's amazing how good Florida State – they lose Scotty Barnes for the game. Hey, next man up and let's get to work. He's done such a great job developing depth. And speaking of depth, I thought Anthony Harris gave North Carolina a little sign of life too, where that's a new piece – that Roy Williams can play with. I came across at the end of that game, terrific win for Florida State, finding a way to win late. And I'm more upbeat about North Carolina today than I was at any point in time last week after that game Saturday. Curious if you think the same.
Totally agree. In fact, I tweeted that out yesterday. I said, you know, even in a loss, I thought that North Carolina, like to me, I am very bullish on North Carolina right now. And it sounds simple, but here's one guy. He's a ball mover. He can advance pass. He can make a shot. He makes the simple play simple, like just making the right pass made the game easier for Davis, made the game easier for Love. He passes the ball on time, on target. He can make his shot. He'll find his shots. He's got a maturity about him. Everything about him on the floor to me said that this guy is a difference maker. Size, strength, feel, just all of a sudden they looked like a different team with him on the floor. You say one player? Yeah, one player. It takes so much pressure off of Caleb Love and R.J. Davis. And then you saw those guys that didn't have to run the team. All of a sudden now they became more comfortable. They were on the receiving end. They didn't have to think as much. Very much different team with Anthony Harris on the floor.
And you kind of felt that way, Seth. It's weird because a year ago in that brief window we got to see him, you kind of felt that way about Anthony Harris. And then unfortunately he got hurt. And it kind of took Carolina down that narrow road again. But if he can stay healthy and continue to gain his minutes, that's a good thing for them.
Oh, huge. And Leaky Black's starting to play a little bit better. And I think he'll make the game easier for Leaky Black as well. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing. You have one guy in the game of basketball, one player can impact your whole team. Doesn't have to score a ton of points, but he can have an impact on your whole team. If he's a ball mover, if he's a guy that obviously reads – makes better decisions, a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. All those things take so much pressure off of other players. And Anthony Harris, to me, again, it's obviously a small sample size, but I thought he was terrific. I'm sitting there in the studio watching the ball move. I'm watching guys get open shots. I'm watching that the ball not get stuck but move to the next guy quickly where the guy is shot ready as opposed to maybe 1,001, and now you make that pass. And now someone all of a sudden closes out because your window for step in threes or step in open shots is very, very small. I mean, the defense is going to adjust. Yeah. That's why everyone talks about on time, on target. Well, the on time part is the most important part because if it gets stuck and it's a second late, you're taking someone out of their rhythm and defense all of a sudden is closed out and recovered. So, look, I said it yesterday in a tweet and I really believe it. I think that he changes this team's DNA.
Seth, I wasn't expecting Virginia to win by 35. I'm not sure anybody did, maybe other than their locker room. But the score that really surprised me the most over the weekend was Miami. And Jim Larrañaga has, and Wes and I talked about this last hour, he has done a remarkable job. When you look at the who's missing list, you're like, well, how in the world are they going to beat anybody? And his seven scholarship guys, they just play hard. And to knock off Louisville, who'd been playing good basketball, and he'd do it at home, finally snapped that 18-game losing streak against ranked opponents. That was an incredible win for Miami. And that's issue number one. Issue number two is, if you're the Cards, hey, that was a tough loss, but man, you better get ready and jump back on the horse, because here comes Florida State tonight. So discuss, I mean, how surprised were you to see Miami beat Louisville, given what they were missing? Kind of crazy.
No Lyles, no Timberlake, no McGusty, and they win the game. I mean, it's unbelievable. Obviously, Wong was terrific. I mean, to me, I've never made a bet in my lifetime. I've done a final NCAA tournament pool. I've never made a bet. If I was a betting man, I don't know what the line was on that game, because I really don't follow that stuff. But there was no way in the world I could see Miami win that game. I mean, I couldn't find a scenario where it said, well, you know, Miami's going to win that game. And, you know, Louisville, if David Johnson doesn't show up, all right, and if Samuel Williamson doesn't play well, and it's all on Carlique Jones, right now they're going to have a problem. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, that's basically what happened. I mean, Dave Johnson, I mean, you can't play 30-plus minutes and get 5 points. I mean, you just can't do it. Samuel Williamson, you got to be better. You know, especially you don't have Malik Williams, you know, you don't have Midland. So, I mean, that was a surprising loss. And I know for Chris Mack, I think the thing that disappointed most is you're giving up 78 points to a team that, quite honestly, is not that good offensively without three of their better offensive players. You're giving up 78 points, and one guy goes and gets 30 on you, 30. And so that's and now you got Florida State with or without Scotty Barnes. I mean, you got my man Draymond Green. I mean, you know, Raekwon Gray, you know, you've got Raekwon Evans, you've got Walker. Koprovica. I mean, like, there's just
Balsa Koprovica. Koprovica. Like,
I said it right the second time. I put him together the first time. I made him one big player. Well, he is a big player. But I mean, like, I mean, Leonard's guys, they just play. And then, you know, okay, like MJ Walker goes out and then he comes back out like Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who are you more concerned about? And I say this, does Saturday's Pitt Syracuse game say more about what Pittsburgh is, or does it speak to maybe what Syracuse isn't?
You know, I think a little bit of both. Pitt is just a hard playing, tough team. I mean, Pitt reminds me, quite honestly, of my good teams that I had at Tech. They have a little bit of an edge. They're attacking you. They're more of a city. You know, they have city games. You know, with Xavier Johnson or Dees Toney. I mean, you know, they have guys that are just going to go and attack. Champagne, they just got so many dudes that just they don't care. They're undersized. Yeah, you know what? But the thing that impressed me most about Syracuse is, one, they didn't turn it over. They've been turning it over at a high percentage. And they shot the three. Well, they don't turn it over and shoot the three. As hard as they play defensively, they're really good. On the other hand, Syracuse, they're not shooting the basketball. Joe Girard is he's MIA. You talk about, you know, last year the game maybe was a little easier for him. There wasn't as much pressure on him. I think – Buddy Boeheim, you know, I think the virus really impacted him. I think that lack of time in the gym impacted him. But he's doing other things. Dolezal's doing other things. They got to rebound the ball. I mean, 16 offensive rebounds again to a Pitt team, just like they lost the last game. They gave up 64 points in the second half. So, like, to me, I'm a Syracuse fan. My agent, Greg Gideon Cohen, is a Syracuse fan. A Syracuse grad. All those Newhouse grads, they're losing their minds. You can't give up 64 points and a half to Pitt. To Pitt. They're going to revoke all those guys that are calling those games. They're going to revoke their degrees.
You know, I don't know what's gotten into you this weekend. We're going to sit there and go, no, we didn't say that. Greenberg said that.
We didn't say that either.
Oh, yeah, I heard on Packer and Durham. No.
Seth
that
on
was
Hoops.
Greenberg yeah. that said it.
Seth on
no,
Hoops.
But I think Pitt's good. I mean, Pitt reminds me of, you know, just a tough, hard-nosed, you know, team that competes and doesn't care about ratings and doesn't care about anything else but just going at you every single play. And they got city dudes.
and it sets the scene for their game against Duke tomorrow, which will be interesting. Get your popcorn ready. I'm just saying, we haven't seen the Blue Devils in a week. Pitt's feeling good about life. It's one of those kind of games, right? We keep talking about the upper third of the league. It's one of those adjustment games tomorrow. Who wants a piece of that? That's going to be fun to watch. By the way, before we let you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying here's the deal on that is that I don't think Duke's tough enough to play. And I know this is Kay's doing this. I don't think Duke, and I'll help him. I don't think Duke's tough enough to beat Pitt.
All right, you're on record with that.
Oh, that'll be clipped. That'll be clipped.
That's just being honest. I mean, it's an honest assessment.
Well, I mean, after seeing Michigan State and Illinois, what they did to Duke, they just got out tough and out physical. Yeah. And Pitt's going to take this thing in the back alley if they can. Before I let you go, though, Virginia Tech, right, on the road, find a way to win. Forbes has done a nice job. The Deacs just can't put 40 minutes together. But Virginia Tech showing some championship DNA, all right? You find ways to win games. Cone, who we've been bragging about, we had him on the show last week, gives you a zero last night, amazingly, because he's been so good coming off the bench. But, man, Virginia Tech's got guys that every night somebody else can step up and make shots.
It's unbelievable. Radford's playing terrific. And the guy never shoots a three-point shot. He knows exactly who he is. Like, he says, nope, I'm going to get to the rim. I'm going to slash. I'm going to get out in transition. I'm going to get to the glass. All right? Stop me. Basically, stop me. But this kid, I didn't even know he was on the team. The kid, what is it, Gusan? Gusan, I looked this morning. Yeah, Gusan. Like, the guy hasn't scored in a week. All right? Or 2 weeks. He had 13 points. Where'd he come from?
Yeah.
They've got a lot of guys. That, you know, and Mike's found a way to pick and choose the right guy in the right moment to make the right play. Mm-hmm. And they've done a great job finishing games. And that's a reflection of Mike. Mike is terrific. He's the right guy for that job. He fits. He's going to recruit. It's basically going to be Wofford 2.0 playing in the ACC. He doesn't care about ratings. He doesn't care about anything. He's going to recruit good players, whether they're rated in the top 100 or not.
Right. Yep. Hokies are 5-1 in the ACC for the first time since Coach Greenberg.
That was a good team. They made me look smart.
They sure did.
And I want. Not easy. Not easy. One of the few teams that made me look smart. I'll tell you what, man. That team had some dog in it too.
All right. Let me make sure we got all the checklists covered here, Pac. We got Lucius Harris. We got Brian Russell.
Right.
We didn't mention that Long Beach, by the way, got jobbed by the officials in the 93 first round game at Salt Lake against Marcus Liberty in Illinois. I thought you got jobbed that day. Just going to be honest. Thought you got jobbed. Yeah, you did. We didn't get Xavier Dowdell, Jamon Gordon, and Deron Washington by name, but we did get that team implied. So that covered that ground. Anything else we need to hit on the checklist for a Monday morning?
Well, man, but the only thing you need to hit on is, and look, I understand we're living in an uncommon time, but if Kim Mulkey really believes what she said yesterday, then she needs to opt out.
Hey, let me just say one thing.
What she said.
Wait a minute.
Basically is she wants to opt out, and no one's making anyone play. And I have no problem with teams opting out.
But if Seth
really believes what she said, she should opt out.
Seth, this is a little tease. This will be a topic for this afternoon's off-campus radio show on SiriusXM 84. If you'd like to call in and jump on board with this and the bandwagon, please do, because that's going to be the theme, I think, this afternoon when we get to that topic.
What time are you on?
4 to 7.
I'll come on.
4.
All right.
4.
On my way into the studio.
All right. Just call in. Channel 84. We'll put you right up.
Coach Greenberg will be a part of the Big Monday schedule on ESPN tonight, which also includes Florida State at Louisville at 7 o'clock. Be well, Coach. Thank you as always. Have a great week.
Stay well, gentlemen. I hope you don't get in too much trouble for having me on.
as he laughs, going to fade to black there.
As he laughs, we'll just clip all this and send it away. Wednesday, we got a basketball doubleheader for you here on ACC Network. We get started in Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech welcomes Boston College. That's at 5 o'clock. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner are there. And then Wake Forest and Carolina, Steve Forbes and Roy Williams for round one. Jay Alter, Malcolm Huckabee will be on the call for that. ACC Network, men's basketball, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, always streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, we will check a full women's basketball slate from yesterday. And we had show 300 the other day, which Dana Evans showed up. Packer and Durham by the numbers. Yeah, that's right. We'll go inside the numbers right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Many thanks to Seth Greenberg. We got Coach Ivy talking a little Notre Dame women's hoops coming up here in about 10 minutes. The Irish playing good basketball. Getting to that with Coach, see what's going on that front. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. The Power Hour is loaded with great guests, too. Justin Champagne, he's just been crazy, right? Man, he has gone nuts coming back. 24-16 against Syracuse over the weekend. And Q will join us talking a little Syracuse women's hoops because they only went for 99 over the weekend. So a lot of stuff happened. A lot of folks making shots. A lot of people making shots.
Let's hit the women's scoreboard from the weekend. Yesterday's action, number two, Louisville, a winner over Florida State, 84-56. Big win for Jeff Walls' team. Priscilla Williams, we already told you about her hot shooting, 99 on the board for the Orange in a 35-point win over Miami. Notre Dame, Neil Ivory joins us here in 8:30, and her team a 10-point winner over Boston College. And Ivana Rocca, 19 rebounds, 17 points. Wake Forest beats Virginia Tech 67-64. Boy, Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech's women have lived at the Heartbreak Hotel, haven't they?
Can't win a close one. They got the big one against North Carolina on the road, and it just seems like if it's close, they have just not been able to get over the hump, even though Kittley went for 18 and 21. 18 points, 21 rebounds yesterday in a loss. And one more note, just because I've made notes of this. Gina Conti missed two free throws yesterday. She had only missed three for the entire year, missed two yesterday. The only reason I bring it up is because she is we like her. I am a big fan of Gina Conti. So when she misses a free throw, it is a big deal. So, good news, though, Deke's got the W. That's the good news. Bad news, missed two free throws.
Doesn't that mean that that's a contribution to a charity of their choice?
I told you on Friday. And whatever the Wake Forest women's basketball program, from a local charity standpoint, whatever they pick, I'm going to make a financial donation for every time Gina Conti misses a free throw. So, we added two more to the list. We'll put a dollar figure on that, and we'll take care of business. Go from there.
There we go. All right. We celebrated 300 shows here on Friday.
Sure did.
We had a great show, a lot of fun. And now our crack staff, and we got unbelievable people that help us get this thing on the rail every morning.
Wait. Isn't no crack staff? I spent hours upon hours. This is why I went to Lexington Barbecue to reward myself. This was hours upon hours of going through every show note. So there ain't no crack staff. What are you talking about? Crack staff. 4:15 a.m. Saturday
morning.
Okay,
so Packer.
I did
so,
this.
So Packer put these numbers together.
Crack staff.
Here's Packer and Durham by the numbers this morning. 454 different guests in 300 shows.
Right.
Ooh. Okay. Then we got most appearances. Let's see. Most athletic appearances, athletic director appearances, three guys with five each.
That's it.
John Wildhack of Syracuse, John Curry, and Dan Radakovich of Clemson.
Yeah.
Five each.
That's right.
Okay. Most football coach appearances.
One and only. The 404, the brand. Jeff Collins. Hey, you know what?
Jeff,
You got a whole network. This is true for every AD, coach, player. You have your own network now.
Yep.
It's called ACC
Network.
Got
a whole network.
And you might as well have it. You got a chance to get the word out, whatever it is you want to talk about. And Jeff Collins said, Al, thank you very much. Matter of fact, I'll even come and hang out in the basement one day, which he did. He rolled right into town.
Yeah.
Sat right here beside me. So that was the deal. So Jeff Collins is
an hour.
Early leader. Sure did. Changed after every segment into a new outfit.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It was like we're doing an hour with Diana Ross.
Yep.
Most women's basketball head coach appearances. And Jeff Walls of Louisville, half dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
Most men's basketball head coach appearances. If you pay attention, this will not surprise you. 6 for Leonard Hamilton, 6 for Josh Pastner.
Now, Leonard Hamilton always says, man, you guys ought to put me on. Every time I do, whether it's a radio interview or whether he's hanging out with us, man, you guys don't put me on enough. Well, right? Hey, coach, not only are your boys playing well, you're tied for the lead after 300 shows. You and Pastner.
Most Olympic sports head coach appearances. She's the GOAT. She ought to be on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Karen Shelton, legendary field hockey coach at Carolina. Most male student athlete appearances.
3-way tie.
3. Marvin Wilson, Sam Howell, and Kenny Pickett. All football. Huh. How about that?
And Howell and Pickett are back for more. So I suspect that, you know what? Well, I suspect you'll see both those guys again.
Most ACC network analyst appearances. Well, he's here every week, so
don't forget Dana.
Oh, female student athlete appearance. Dana Evans, who set the record for all appearances the other day,
right?
With 4,
right?
And then now the most ACC analyst appearances. This one was kind of easy.
Eric Mack.
I mean, he's Mack had, by the way, thousands.
No, would you like to guess?
I'm gonna say 30 some.
You'd be low. Low.
Really?
Yeah.
How low?
42.
Okay. Most ESPN analyst appearances. Just had him.
Added to the lead.
Greenberg's an institution. How many has he been on? How many times?
Today makes 26.
Okay. And then most writer appearances, well, that's easy. The great David Teal.
Yes, sir.
David Teal's, that's got to be close to a couple dozen, doesn't it?
Teal's like 15 or 16 off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. Well done, Pac. Good research on your part.
Yep.
When we come back, Neil Ivey joins us. Notre Dame women's basketball coach. Coming off some nice wins this weekend. Got a lot to go with. I'm going to ask her about the West Belt connection to her program, because Maddie West Belt's been on fire for the Irish. We'll talk to Coach Neil Ivey next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday morning, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. Justin Champagne coming up top of the hour. Q coming on about 45, actually about an hour from now. Talk a little Syracuse hoops. But right now, though, Wes, we switch gears. We head to South Bend, Indiana. Coach Ivey has
2 in a row, 4 out of 5.
They're rocking. They're playing good basketball.
2 in a row. 2 in a row, 4 out of 5.
Got it. Noted. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are great. And, man, all of a sudden, it looks like things are starting to fall into place. I know you've seen growth on this team, but what's been the difference here in the last couple of weeks? Because you are really starting to play good basketball.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it's our defense, you know, really focused on trying to get better defensively and just having that competitive spirit, fight, learning how to compete. I feel like they're doing that now. Fortunately, I'm healthier, so I have most of my players back, and we're starting to gel. So it's been exciting to kind of watch the growth.
All right, Neil, there's all sorts of different things we could go here. First year, you know, being in charge and having to make the HC decisions as opposed to being the assistant in the staff room. But then, oh, by the way, we got to add this pandemic and all this uncertainty in. So it's almost like you've had to go get a PhD in this from straight from undergrad. So what all have you processed in tackling these first dozen ball games?
Well, definitely not to be too high or too low, and to try to navigate through all of the uncertainty. So just being flexible, because every day something can change. I have an incredible staff. I have an incredible medical staff that's been very, very helpful, and administration that's been helpful going through all of this. So, you know, all the ACC teams, all colleges, sports in general, we're all going through this together. So I'm learning on the fly. And again, I have a lot of support. So that's been helpful.
It also helps to have Muffet down the street, right? I know this is your team and you're putting your stamp and DNA on it, but to be able to have that lean back that just in case, I'm not sure anybody's got the answer to any pandemic question. It's not in any coaching manual, but man, it's got to be helpful to know that just in case you need just another person to run something by, that's available to you and your staff.
Absolutely. She's my secret weapon. I call her or text her whenever I need advice, whenever I need anything. She's watching all the games. She texts me right after every game to give me her feedback. So that is invaluable. I'm very, very fortunate to have such an incredible relationship and close relationship with her. And I trust her, and I love her so much. So she's been very, very helpful. So I'm blessed to have her.
All right, Coach, winning two straight and four out of five, and every time I either see a ball game or go back and read a game story and start to look into the numbers, I see Matty Westbeld at the top of the chart here. That's been a pretty good family for Notre Dame basketball. What in the world? Matty's bringing some things to the table here for you, huh?
Oh, yes. My favorite family, incredible family. You know, Catherine Westbeld and her sister had an incredible career here, and Matty has just – had such a really smooth transition. She does so much for me. She's so confident. She came in with a college body. But what I love about her most is her approach to the game. First day on the campus, she went directly into the gym. She's a worker. She's coachable. She wants to get better. She's a winner. And she's a great teammate. And she's just fun to coach. And just to see her development and just to see how comfortable she is on the floor is just really fun to watch.
Coach, I know you love watching teams get better. I mean, I think to me that's always got to be the ultimate joy as a coach. And I mentioned to you that you're putting your own fingerprints on this program, and it's still early, and we're going through a pandemic, and it's kind of hard to get into any kind of rhythm. But what do you think has been the one thing that feels different about your program versus previous years at Notre Dame with Muffet?
I would say probably my energy. I'm a big energy person. So I'm talking about energy all the time in the locker room, on the sidelines, in practice. You know, I'm very, very passionate, and I'm hoping that that's what everyone sees, the little bit of difference with this team and this program with me leading it, is the energy and passion that I try to bring. And I try to bring that out of the team. And I feel like, you know, now they're starting to understand that and get that and show that as well. So I'm hoping that that's what you all see. But a lot of what you see also is what I've learned for the past, 15 years, and some things I've learned also just in the NBA of just, how to run a program, my offensive, defensive schemes and things like that. But I'm hoping that the energy part is the one that you notice the most about.
Well, I was going to ask you about the correlation, because I know you worked with the Grizzlies a year ago and kind of the transitional piece of this, because more and more when I hear about the women's game, direct reflection of what the NBA is, there's a lot being processed to the women's game that comes from professional basketball. And it may be because players that you've had either at Notre Dame go to Europe and they go to another foreign country and also play in the WNBA. Why is that connection seemingly so strong between the NBA and the women's game we're seeing at the collegiate level?
Well, I think it's a little bit of the respect factor. You know, even before coaching with the Memphis Grizzlies, I was always a student of the game. So always studying Brad Stevens, Popovich, all these amazing coaches, Phil Jackson. And then as players, all of the young stars, all the young players, they're always looking up to NBA players, WNBA players, vice versa. So I think the game, we're all studying each other. Sorry, my phone. We're all kind of studying each other and studying each other's tendencies and just studying the game and from the WNBA and the NBA perspective. So I know that's how I'm learning and how I'm trying to implement the things that I'm learning. And I'm thinking it's the same for everybody that just respects the game on both levels.
Coach, Wes and I have talked a lot about the men's side and then compare it to the women's side. And I know it's two different sports, two different worlds, two different universes. The object, though, is still to win. And while the men, we are trying to figure out who's the alpha, we understand on the ladies' side, Louisville and NC State could very well be ranked number one and number two in the country when the polls come out. We know that Syracuse has been consistently ranked in the top 25. And the intriguing fact is we've got about five or six teams in the ACC that aren't named Louisville, NC State, or Syracuse that we're waiting to see who emerges, who gets hot. I would say right now between you and Georgia Tech, it looks like we're starting to see a little separation. Do you get a sense from a momentum standpoint that guess what? We can be that team that knocks down the door, that you start seeing us back in the top 25 and causing trouble and issues for everybody in the league?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Right now, my focus for this group is to take each day, celebrate the small victories and try to learn from them and try to, you know, to focus on where we're at this point. Try not to look too far ahead. I'm just focused on trying to get better, and I see the improvement. And so I feel that if we could continue doing that, staying focused on, you know, the areas that we need to stay focused on, then hopefully we can make some waves. I'm just very encouraged that we're starting to grow at this point and starting to peak a little bit now in this point of the season.
All right, Coach, we all know how the schedule works this year, right? It's a suggestion. It's not necessarily in stone. You've won a couple home games, and now by my count, you're getting ready to go on the road for, what, four in a row? You know, with the potential, I guess, of maybe, yeah, it's four in a row, five in a row before you come back to get Syracuse. So how do you treat this stretch? And I know that's a big road swing, and it's a pretty big demand for a team like yours.
Absolutely. It's going to be a tough road swing. You know, I think that we're ready, but we have to stay focused on daily tasks and daily goals. Try not to look too big, too far in advance. You know, trying to focus on first Virginia Tech, hopefully, focus on Virginia Tech on Thursday, and then go down to UNC and focus on them. So that's the goal. Mm. You know, trying to keep this group very focused. And, you know, have more small tasks and small goals for us to try to accomplish instead of just thinking such big picture, trying to, you know, I don't want to put as much pressure on them. You know, they already have enough pressure as it is. So just trying to take care of small goals and small victories.
Coach, one more quick question for me. Mental health. I think it's always important when we talk to coaches, given the sacrifices these student athletes are going through just to practice, much less play. From a mental standpoint, is the team in a good spot? I mean, do you get a sense that this has been such a grind, that this has been hard? Or are you in a spot where, hey, we've kind of figured this thing out a little bit and we're moving on down the road?
I think mental health is something I'm always aware of. I have a sports psychologist that comes to meet with us, you know, every couple weeks just to have extra support. You know, I just want them. I understand the pressures that they're going through. I think that we're continuing to work through everything. We're still working through all of this. I know that they have their moments, and that's what I was happy that they had a chance to go home for Christmas to have some time off. But again, I think everyone's still navigating through it. You're never really over the hump. I think you just have to make sure that you're aware of what's going on and know the pulse of your team to know what they need. And that's what I try to do. Sometimes that's just having a team dinner, team bonding, social distance, of course, but just having moments where we can get together and just have that balance of not having to the worry and stress of COVID and basketball.
Perfect. Good luck, Coach. Thanks, as always, for the time. And keep it going.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Stay safe.
You too.
All right, you too. Neil Ivey is the head women's basketball coach at Notre Dame. Always enjoy her visits when she joins us here on Packer and Durham. Don't forget, we got more women's basketball coming up for you here on ACC Network, and we do it on Thursday. We start at 6 o'clock with Pittsburgh hosting Miami. Pam Ward, LaChina Robinson will be there. And then at 8 o'clock, number 3 NC State and Florida State from Tallahassee, Jen Hildreth and Kelly Gramlich on the call right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back later tonight on ACC Network, a new installment of the Traditions program. debuts. The Pitt Panthers of Coach John Majors. We'll touch on that and show you a clip coming up next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844 say ACCN, the number, if in case you are in the mood to participate. A number of guests coming up for you during the power hour. And we've got this little traditional deal that we got going on with Pitt, right? I can't wait. I love old school stuff, man. You know me. I love the old school stuff.
The tradition segments that have been done, the installments have been fantastic, and the latest involves the University of Pittsburgh. And you'll get to see great clips from Tony Dorsett and Hugh Green and players like that. But one of the stories you'll get about the Panthers is the incredible ride they had in 1976 to the national championship.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Keith Jackson. I'll be calling the play for you this afternoon. And once in a few times in your lifetime, I guess you can say it's almost a perfect day. We have a Heisman Trophy candidate ready to play, and we have the whole thing put together in an almost legendary setting.
They let the grass grow pretty high.
The grass has been given what I might call a Dorsett cut.
Thought that was going to be a way to slow down Tony Dorsett. Didn't work.
The first play of the ball game goes to Tony Dorsett, and he breaks it over the right side, and he makes it.
Don't believe it, but I saw it. Do you think the grass slowed him up there a little bit, Keith?
In 1972, we won only one football game. In 1976, only 5 years or 4 years after that, we won 12 and were national champions. And John Majors and his staff, and most importantly, his players, did a marvelous job.
The undefeated, untied Pitt Panthers of 1976, attaining that number one position during the year. And of course, the man who is responsible for that is with us today, Panther coach Johnny Majors.
Johnny Majors was the best PR guy in the business.
Not only was he an outstanding coach, but he was a great communicator.
Let's get to the football team we got now. Let's put them away. You got to do it as a team.
Fellas, I think we've got to put together a football team here, Pitt, that will be determined not to learn to lose. And as long as we play with pride and play with enthusiasm and with intensity, we will learn to win.
He cultivated his own winning culture, and it produced a 12-0 season. It was a Cinderella story.
Well, you're on a fairy tale. You're kind of like on that carousel that, you know, you're having such fun.
One of the most evident things at Bourbon Street, of course, is a carriage. And we happen to be enjoying a ride right now through the middle of Bourbon Street. As a matter of fact, we're there right now with Cecil Johnson and Jim Corbett.
All right.
Cecil, first of all, how about your New Orleans experience? Has it been a good one for you?
Well, we just got here. You know, we really haven't, you know, had a lot of time to see the town, but everything seems to be shaping up pretty nice.
We loved it in New Orleans, my friend. That was the first time I ever went to New Orleans. The food, the ambience, I mean, everything was just like off the charts. We enjoyed the whole time, the whole experience of being in New Orleans and just going against the Georgia Bulldogs and winning that national championship. The fans and all that, the way they were treating us and coming up to us, they would actually almost get in our face and say, dog food, dog food.
I was on the sideline, and I will never forget, in the fourth quarter, our players yelling across the field, how does that dog meat taste now?
The Pittsburgh Panthers defeat the Georgia Bulldogs 27-3, a dominating performance.
I could watch that stuff all day long. I love, I mean, anytime you're going to give me Keith Jackson and Tony Dorsett. Oh, how great is that? Seriously. Old coaches shows.
How about
man.
The Can we get tearaway jerseys? Can we get tearaway jerseys just one time? Can we just get some of that? Just one game of tearaways? Could we do that?
Not sure. That's in the budget, but I would like to. I just every time I see old footage like that, it's just awesome, right? I mean, just.
How about Team Blazers? Could we get Team Blazers? How about the windbreakers that Pittsburgh was wearing? All the gear that kids get today, how about the windbreaker jacket that Pittsburgh had that they were wearing at the Sugar Bowl? Here, fellas, here's a windbreaker. Want you to wear it everywhere you go.
You know what else? You know what else that 3 minutes told me was when Pitt decided, hey, we're going back to the old school unis. No doubt, right? I mean, you see those from the mid 70s, and of course we've had Jackie Sherrill and Tony Dorsett on the show. Really awesome. Yeah. I loved everything about that. But of course, I will say this, just to be fair, 3 or 4 years later, Georgia did go and finally win a national championship in 1980, and they haven't won one since. So just to be fair, right?
Jeez. Oh, yeah.
I know you're down there in Georgia. You act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Pretend I know exactly Georgia what Tech, you're dude. Talking about.
Georgia Tech, man, you tell me like you don't know what I'm talking about on that one.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Do we have more Tony Dorsett video, by the way? Or Dorsett, as he was known then? Yeah, let's have some more of that.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. Get some of that on you, Pac. Love Come it. On.
Boy, is he great, man. You know, you watch, you know what else is true here? You watch 33 run, and you know what? He runs like he's a 20-21 player. You know what I mean? It's just effortless. Yep. The cuts, smooth, speed, angles. I mean, he just was so far ahead of the game, right? He just, that looked like a dude that right there is in his prime right now in the NFL, and he's running in 1976. Yeah. The special greats do that, man. They're just timeless. And Tony D.
That's
and
pretty awesome.
Those Pitt teams were timeless. That wasn't the only good team they had back then either.
No. ACC traditions.
Really cool.
Pittsburgh debuts tonight right here on ACC Network. Those are always really, really fun.
Excellent.
Fun to see the old coaches show video with our friend Bill Hillgrove, huh?
The old coaches shows where they used to sit behind some plywood piece of furniture they found in a dump and throw the school logo in the back and roll the tape. This is 30 minutes, start to finish. Hey, let it rip.
Well, Woody.
Yeah.
Woody, our fine football team beat the College of William & Mary 55-3. Coach Jim Root and his team, an outstanding college football team. We are fortunate to win the game.
And of course, Coach would have had the roll-up script. Talk about Mike Voigt. There's a fine three-yard run right there by Mike Voigt. Those are great.
Maybe that's what we ought to do in the offseason. Clip up some of those old coaches' shows and roll those at you.
Those were spectacular. I've got so many Danny Ford stories. I got so many Danny Ford stories from doing his coaches' show 100 years ago. We could turn that into a whole week of shows.
Danny?
Oh, youngster people.
People.
What are you doing? You got my check.
All right. Got my check.
Danny was awesome. God, Danny Ford was so much fun to work with. It wasn't even funny. He was fantastic.
Yeah. We got to get Coach Ford on this show.
We need to. Those are summertime shows, man. We'll do that in the summer. Assuming we're here.
I mean, that'd be a power hour into itself.
We're on show 301, and we feel like we've been stealing at 301. There were a lot of folks didn't think that thing would get past 25 or 30. We're at 301 today.
That's about right.
Yep.
We start the Power Hour on this Monday with a young man who came back and, in the words of the great Nuke LaLoosh, announced his presence with authority. Because
awesome.
Justin Champagne comes back from a knee injury and goes for 24-16. It was like he never left.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to the Panther sophomore when we continue
next
on Packer
Durham.